My friends, is a very costly, expensive commodity, and you may know by experience that well, it's very scarce in this troubled and world of turmoil in which you live today. But the Bible speaks, don't you know, about a perfect peace that one can enjoy, that one can know and experience. Speaks about the peace of God as being rather surpassing all understanding, beyond human understanding, because, well, it's supernatural, that's why. And of course, it comes to a person, it comes to a body when they've made peace with God. You see, you can't have the peace of God until you know peace with God. The weapons of your warfare have to be laid down. The fight has to be given up, and you have to surrender to the Almighty. But I ask you the question this afternoon: how can there be peace in the world? How can there be peace in your own society, your own homes, and of course, more importantly, in your own heart, as long as you're hostile to God, as long as you're alienated from God? The Bible says that the sinful mind, the natural mind, that is hostile to God, you know, alienated from God, in denial about God, about His Son, and of course about His salvation. And as long as that state and condition remains, continues, well, there can be no peace. But of course, the peace that God grants to the mind that's stayed upon Him, fixed upon Him, that is a person who has eternal, everlasting peace. It's a peace, of course, that never comes to an end. It's peace with God, and therefore for time and for eternity. As is God Himself, infinite and eternal, so too is the peace and the salvation that He brings to and that He offers to men and women. Of course, I've come to discover in my ministry, I've come to discover that the greatest lie that people tell, I don't know what you might think that would be. I used to think it was other than this. But the greatest lie that people tell is this: I'm good. I'm a good person. And of course, because you think that you're a good person, well, you ought to pass muster with God. He ought to allow you into heaven. I ask people the question, I say, do you think you'll go to heaven? Most people, they say, I hope so, I think so, I'm a good person, I've never done anything, well, really wrong, robbed a bank, did drugs or stuff like that, you know, and so they deem themselves to be good persons. Of course, you get the odd person who's absolutely honest, like the man I asked the question of the other day. I said to him, do you think that you'll go to heaven when you're finished on this earth? Of course, he laughed wickedly and he said, not a chance. And of course, well, that's the reality, that's the truth with regards to every single person outside of Jesus Christ. Until peace has been made with God and you experience, you know, the peace of God, you're cut off from God, alienated from God, And I suggest to you this afternoon that man's greatest need, whatever need you have today, maybe it's a financial one, loan from the bank, medical one, some medical treatment, or maybe an employment issue. You know, you need a job, like really big time. But all of these needs, can I suggest to you, they pale into insignificance in comparison to your need to be reconciled to God. That's man's greatest need. It always has been, and it always will be, as this earthly existence of yours remains. Because you see, the truth of the matter is, you don't know how long it's going to be with you in this world. I have a friend at the moment, and he's very close to death. The doctors have given him hours, maybe at the outside days. 3 weeks ago, he was fit and strong. He was erecting a fence in his garden, and all of a sudden he felt tired. Went to the doctors, and he was told that he was full of cancer. And now he's very, very close to death. Thankfully, he knows and loves the Lord Jesus, and so he'll be going to a better place. But my point is this, you don't know. You could walk out of this shopping centre, this marketplace, and be hit with a truck. You could have a heart attack. Many, millions of ways in which the Almighty can remove the fittest, strongest, youngest or oldest of you in a nanosecond, just as he pleases. There's a man in the Bible, it's recorded, and he had so much of material things, the things of this world and life. So much, in fact, he had no room to store it all. And so he said to himself, well, I'll build myself some bigger warehouses. I'll store it all there. And then I'll sit back and I'll say to myself, you've got much laid up for many years. Eat, drink, and be merry. And that very night, God said to him, you fool, this night your soul will be required of you. He was a fool, not because he was rich, not because he had all that stuff. He was a fool because he left God out of the equation, neglected the God that he knew. You see, God will not send you to hell for not believing a God that you don't know, but for not believing a God that you do know. See, you do know him. The Bible makes that clear. There's no such thing as an atheist. There's no such thing as an agnostic. You see, people, you know that God is because God has showed it to you. And you live in denial of him. You suppress the truth because, well, quite simply, you don't want there to be a God. Because you think to yourself, well, if I live in denial of God, well, that leaves me free to live my life just as I please. Abandonment. You know, because you love your sin, you love the darkness rather than the light. So you go into denial. Well, you can't help somebody who's in denial. You know, if somebody's got an alcohol problem, a drug problem, and they turn to you and they say, I haven't got a problem, there's nothing you can do. You can't help them if they're in denial. And as long as you're in denial about God, well, nobody can help you, not even God, if you continue in that way. Listen to what the Bible says about that. For the wrath of God, the holy displeasure, that is, the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who by their unrighteousness suppress the truth. Suppress the truth about God, about his Son, about their sin, their involvement in it, and of course about God's salvation. For what can be known about God is plain to them. because God has shown it to them. For his invisible attributes, namely his eternal power and divine nature, have been clearly perceived ever since the creation of the world in the things that have been made. So they are without excuse. You see, you know that God is. You know that God is, that he exists just as much as I do, but you suppress the truth, you deny the truth in unrighteousness. And of course, you see, people, that's why the world in which you live is in a state of dispeace. But God, he calls you first and foremost to repentance. To repent is not something you do, it's a change of mind. He calls you to change your mind, you see, about God, his existence, your sin, and your great need of his peace. You will keep him in perfect peace, the Bible says, whose mind is stayed on you, whose mind is fixed upon God. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. You see, people, it's your thinking that's the problem. It's your mindset in which you suppress the knowledge of God. You hold down the truth. You're in denial about the existence of God, and of course about his salvation. But of course, in order to come to know God and to know and to enjoy his peace that passes all understanding, one needs first of all to be right with God, to be justified. The Bible says that it is only through Christ, only through the Son of God and God the Son, that a person can be reconciled to God, justified before God. To justify something or someone is to make it right. And that's your need, you see, to be made right with God, to be justified. That is by his grace through faith in his Son, Jesus Christ. Bible tells us that the Son of God, that Jesus has made peace by his blood, by the shedding of his blood, you see, on the cross. He's made that peace for the world. But that peace has to be received, you see, has to be willingly, deliberately, consciously received by you in faith. He came to his own people, that is, the Bible says, Jesus. But to those who did receive him, then he gave the right, the authority to become children of God. You see, you're not a child of God, naturally speaking, by nature. You're a child of wrath. You're under the whole holy displeasure of God from the moment of your birth, you see. Bible says you were conceived in sin, born in sin. And so an adoption process must take place. Family state needs to alter, you see. And the only one who can give you the right of adoption, the authority, the one alone who can sign the adoption papers, is Jesus Christ, God's Son. He who made peace, you see, by the blood of his cross. But then, of course, the Bible says that the person whose mind is stayed upon God, fixed upon God, the person who has changed their mind, repented, that is, turned from their evil and their wicked thinking, their suppressing of God and the knowledge of God which they have, and not just acknowledging the existence of God, but crying out to him. You say, well, I've never prayed in my life. Well, here's a good place to begin. God, be merciful to me, a sinner. You see here in these words from the Bible, Christ died for the gospel, for the ungodly. There, you see, is the gospel explained to you. The gospel, the good news about Jesus Christ. You go into many of your churches in Lancaster and you ask them what the gospel is. Well, I dare say in this day and generation of awful apostasy in your land, I doubt that there's few people who would be able to tell you what the gospel is. Oh, they'll entertain you, they'll feed you, they'll sing and dance to you, but they won't tell you what the gospel is. Here it is. Christ died for the ungodly. Christ, Jesus, it's about a person, not a religion. You already have a world full of religion. That's just another expression of man's rebellion against God, thinking that he can swim his way to rightness with God and to heaven. You might as well try and swim the Atlantic Ocean. What would be the outcome of that? You would eventually sink into the depths of the ocean. Well, you try to swim your way to heaven, and the result will be the same, but you will sink into the pits of hell and damnation. Man cannot save himself. You see, the cross declares this, that all men are sinners, that they can't save themselves, that they need God's Son, Jesus Christ, the only reconciler, the only mediator between God and man. So, you see, the gospel, the good news, it's about Jesus, it's about the Son of God, it's about a person, the loveliest person that you could ever wish to meet. He is wonderful, truly, truly wonderful. He's a Savior, that's what his name Jesus means. And he came into the world not to make you religious. What's the good of turning, I ask you, to something like Islam? There's no cross there. There's no blood shed there. They only shed the blood of their enemies. But there's no sacrifice for sin. There's no way back to God in that. And of course, that applies to your Jehovah's Witnesses next door and all the rest of the whole mess of religion that fills the world. It's the true and living God that you need, the one that you know exists, the one that you know created you and gave you your being. It's him that you live and move and have your being. He holds your very next breath in the palm of his hands. It's his sovereignly to give and take away. Christ, it's about a person, Jesus, who died for sinners. Tells you what he did, he died. Yes, there were thousands of men, doubtless, who died on Roman crosses 2,000 years ago, but only one who was the Son of God, only one who is God's appointed Redeemer, only one who is God's Christ, the Anointed of the Father, the one full of grace and truth, the one who came to save, to rescue us from the turmoil and the ravages of sin into your life, society, and world. Jesus, he died an atoning death. Nobody else could do that, only the Son of God. Only he who was spotless, sinless, who had no sin. Even the Roman governor had to acknowledge, I find no fault in this man. His enemies had to trump up charges, false charges against him to have him crucified. No, he died a death for others. He died a death that he didn't deserve. He died a death that you deserve. He took the rap for sinners. And of course it tells us who he died for. He died for the ungodly. You see, when you say you're good, that's a piece of nonsense. I say to you, you think you're a good person? Well, I think so. Never robbed a bank. Well, on what basis? On what basis, I ask you, do you judge yourself to be a good person? Ever told a lie? How many? A thousand, a million? That'll get you to hell. You ever stolen anything, small or great? That'll get you to hell. Ever blaspheme God's name? You see, your goodness is beginning to evaporate already. Jesus says only God is good. God is perfection. He requires perfection. And the only way you and I can be credited with perfection is when you trust in the perfect righteousness of Jesus and the perfect sacrifice of Jesus. That's the only basis on which God will receive, accept any sinner. So your goodness, you see, it's nothing at all. You're not a good person. In fact, God's description of the human nature is this: a heart deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. And that, of course, well, from the moment of your birth to the end of your course in this earth, unless there's a change, unless God changes you, unless God, in His sovereign mercy, comes and grants you a pardon through the hearing of the gospel. He calls you, seek the Lord, He says, while He may be found. Call upon Him while He is near, the Bible says. Well, He comes near to you. He entreats you in love. He comes near to you in the proclamation of the gospel. This is the means, like it or not, this is the means that God has appointed for sinners to be saved through the preaching of the gospel. We don't use the bomb and the bullet. We don't use coercion as our Islamic people do. No, by persuasion, we reason with you, and God calls you to reason. He made you a reasonable creature and says to you, come, let us reason together. You know what God says makes sense. You know that His word is truth. It is the absolute truth. There is no truth outside of this book, the Bible, none whatsoever. There is no truth in human philosophy. There is no truth in scientism. Not science, I say, scientism, your faith, your belief in science, that it has all the answers, false science, so-called, Darwinism and Dawkinism, the philosophies, the wisdom of this world. There is no truth there, none at all. Truth comes from God, and God has revealed the truth. You can have no knowledge at all without God, none whatsoever. God is the revealer of knowledge. And of course, it's the fear of the Lord that's the beginning of knowledge, the Bible says. But as I said, to begin with, you know that God is. And your place, of course, is not to cry for evidence. Who do you give evidence to? You give evidence to the judge. Well, you know, God is the judge. You know, you're not putting Him in the witness box. You don't need evidence, people. You need to raise the white flag. You know, surrender submission to God through His Son, Jesus Christ, His appointed Savior and Redeemer, the one Himself who said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me. No other name, the Bible says, under the entire canopy of heaven, wherever you come from, the darkest jungle of Amazon, the Middle East, the Far East, the Western world, it matters not. There is but one name and one name only through which a person can be saved. His name is Jesus, the Christ of God, who so loved sinners that He died for them. Here is the greatest manifestation of God's love for sinners, that Christ died for the ungodly. Wonderful, wonderful love of God. It wasn't done in a corner. It was done before all the world. And it's known. Pardon?
People are eating. having a nice day. Can you stop shouting?
Carry on.
Can you stop shouting?
No, carry on.
I mean, slightly. Sorry? I'm in a patriot as well.
Okay, pardon? Sorry?
Yeah, you've been very rude.
So, as I was saying, people, Jesus, the only saviour of sinners, the only one who can reconcile you to God and bring you to this place of peace with God, a mind fixed upon God and therefore at perfect peace. But as long as you say you're hostile in your mind, alienated from God, suppressing the truth about God, well, there can be no peace in your world, and of course no peace, more importantly, in your own hearts. But to know the peace of God that surpasses all understanding, the first requirement is that you bow the knee. Bible says that every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Much better than not that you bowed the knee to him this afternoon as your Savior and your Lord, rather than as your judge at the end of your earthly course. It is appointed for man to die once. Person asked the question the other day about death. Why does death come to people? For the simple reason that you're a sinner. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The wages of sin is death, you see. It's appointed for man once to die, and after this, then comes the judgment. It's not the end, it's not the finish, it's not an unknown, it's not a black hole. God has revealed the truth to us. After death comes judgment. You stand before God and you give account for your life, all your deeds, Jesus says, even for every idle word. So death comes to everybody. You want to prove to me that you're not a sinner? Well then, never die. Don't die. That's the only way that you'll prove that you're not a sinner. It's the consequences, you see, of sin, of man's depravity. All men have to die. All have sinned, you see, and come short, not reached the target, not even hit the target, let alone miss the bull's eye. Fallen short of the glorious standards of God. All guilty, you see, and all sinful, and all in need of forgiveness. So this afternoon...
Are you moving on now? Half an hour now, and you've had your half an hour.
I can go on for as long as I like, but I'll be finished in 2 minutes.
We're living in a multicultural society. Can you please fuck off into another country where you just have Christians?
Can you stop swearing before I phone the police? As I was saying, people, believe. Trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. Whoever shall call upon the name of the Lord Jesus Christ shall be saved from sin's penalty. Its wages, which of course have always been and always will be, death. Physical, spiritual, everlasting, eternal death. But for those who call in faith upon the Lord Jesus Christ, they shall, the promises, be saved from the power of sin that holds you in its vice-like grip and won't let you go. All of these addictions that you fight, you know, you scramble to the chemist for patches, the bookstore for self-help books, because you know your life is not what it should be. But all the psychobabble in the world doesn't set you free. Only Jesus can do that. If the Son shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. So call upon the name of the Lord and the promises you shall be saved. From sin's penalty, its power, and of course its presence that permeates your world as it is today. And of course your own hearts and lives that plagues you. And I'm sure that in your better moments, you must think to yourself, surely there must be something better than this. And of course there is, people. It's called the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And the first recorded words of Jesus in the Bible are these: repent and believe the gospel, for the kingdom of God is at hand. Only way that you can have peace, the perfect peace of God, and enter the kingdom of God, here is the requirement that you repent, you change your mind, you turn around. Why will you die, says the Lord? Why will you perish for the want of a Savior? I take no pleasure in the death of the wicked, he says, but rather that you turn, that you turn, that you change your mind and turn to God in repentance. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you shall be saved. You'd like to have a copy of God's Word, the Bible, I mean. Check these things out for yourself. See that they're so.